Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is
www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, no spaces, all small letters, www.moresureword.com.
At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Most of you know that the Pope stirred up Muslim violence all over the world when he dared to make this quote of Manuel II, the Byzantine emperor from 600 years ago. Yes, the Pope stirred up Muslim violence, which proves the truth of this profound single sentence description regarding Muhammad and Islam. Here's the quote that stirred up all the ruckus and all the Muslim violence and had the Pope burned in so many Muslim countries in effigy. Here's the quote. Show me just what Muhammad brought that was new, and there you will find things only evil and inhuman, such as his command to spread by the sword the faith he preached. Well, the faith of Muhammad is not real faith. You see, real faith is belief plus the Holy Ghost. Obviously, Muhammad did not have the Holy Ghost. Obviously, Muhammad was a false prophet. We know that Muhammad had 11 wives. The true God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Muhammad disinherited his adopted son so that he could fornicate with his adopted son's wife. He was a demoniac, given to fits and convulsions. And the truth, if it were to be proven, was that Vatican Rome put Muhammad in the religion business in the 7th century to kill people of the book. Yes, that's the truth. And I'm going to give you a little bit of the details behind that astonishing truth. But the fact remains that in June of 2000, the Pope was given signed, sealed, and delivered authority over all of the global Antichrist religions of tolerance in this world in the year 2000. And part of the UN Millennial Summit of inviting all of the religious dignitaries from around the world to the UN Millennial Summit was to cover the fact that the Pope had already been given authority, full Inquisition authority, full authority over all Antichrist religions of tolerance in this world. And of course, the only thing in this world, this Antichrist world, which will not be tolerated, are the not authentically human people, as defined in the global ethic, which the religious mucky-mucks of the world agreed upon 9 days before the signing of the 7-year peace and safety insanity. Yes, the Antichrist by peace would destroy many. But 9 days before that was signed on the White House lawn between Rabin and Arafat, the 7-year peace and safety agreement known as Oslo, and by peace the Antichrist will destroy many. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. But 9 days before that, the global ethic introduced this definition known as not authentically human. And that applies to Jews, of course, and to real Christians, people of the book. The Holy Bible is a Jewish book. God used 100% Jewish authors to record his oracles, his words. And they did record and preserve it. Even Luke was a proselyte Jew. So the Bible, the Holy Bible, is a Jewish book, and it has a Jewish context to it. But the Pope is the false prophet of the Antichrist. He has a blasphemous title. What a blasphemous title when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Call no man on earth Father." The Pope has a title, Holy Father, which is pure blasphemy. He has another Antichrist title, Vicar of Christ. And since there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, anyone standing as a positional mediator between God and man, as the Pope's title, Vicar of Christ, would indicate, is by definition Antichrist. So the Pope really stirred up violence, and what I'd like to do is give you some background on the facts that we do know, indicating that it was Vatican Rome that put Muhammad in the religion business in the 7th century to kill people of the book. Now, most of you know that Betty and I were sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to a place where we could get the gospel to Muslims from many different languages. We love Muslim people. We put our life on the line just about every day, certainly every week, as we go into gangs of young Muslims and tell them that the only thing great about Muhammad is what a great criminal psychopath that he was. Well, you know, their religious duty is to kill us when we tell them that. We give them the Word of God, words from this book that the religion of Islam is designed to kill people of that book, and we give them sections of that book in their own language. We have 1 John, which is very powerful witnessing to Muslims, 1 John, and we have the first 4 chapters of Hebrews, without using the chapter title headings, of course, in 16 different languages of Muslims that we can have a chance to contact with. And these are the poor Muslims, and poor people really don't make good Muslims. Humble people or poor people really don't make good Muslims. We have this to give them, and we tell them straight up that according even to their own holy book in Surah 1971, in the Quran, in Surah 1971, it says explicitly with no wiggle room that every Muslim is going to hell. That's a true verse of the Quran. Remember that. Surah 1971. Tell the Muslim to read Surah 1971. Because it said it explicitly, all Muslims are going to hell. So, we love Muslims. The fact of our life for the last 5 years, to leave everything behind in America and be obedient to God, to go to get the truth of the Word of God in their own language to these poor Muslims, proves that we love Muslims. But we tell them these truths, that the moon god of Islam is Lucifer, Satan, the devil. We tell them that. And when we tell them the only thing great about Muhammad is what a great criminal psychopath he was, and that Vatican Rome put Muhammad in the religion business to kill people of the book in the 7th century, and that is the religion of Islam, their religious duty, telling them just half of that, would be to kill us, and we watch as God protects us. Our life is a testimony that the true God who created heaven and earth does not need anybody to fight his battles for him. Our life is a testimony of that. Our life is a testimony that we love Muslims. I can think of few things more anti-Christ than to respect or to tolerate Islam. The difference between Christianity and Islam is like night and day, light and dark. Polar opposites. A religion of love, life, and liberty to worship the true God versus a religion of hate, vengeance, killing, and darkness and bondage of the moon god, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. So I'd like to begin by giving a contrast between Muhammad and the Lord Jesus Christ, and to give a contrast between the true God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahweh, and Allah. So we'll begin there, and then I'll try to give you some of the reasons why we believe that it was in fact the Pope who put Muhammad in the religion business in the 7th century to kill Jews and real Christians, and that the Pope said what he said, quoting Emperor Manuel II from 600 years ago, "Show me just what Muhammad brought that was new, and there you will find things only evil and inhuman, such as his command to spread by the sword the faith he preached." With full knowledge and determination and a real purpose behind what he said, because the Pope has been, as the false prophet of the Antichrist, given full religious inquisition authority over all religions which will be tolerated on this Antichrist planet. Most people don't know that in 1967, the highest occult ceremony in the world was conducted simultaneously at two locations in the Vatican in Rome and in the highest Freemason temple in the world, located 13 blocks north of the White House in Washington, D.C. The name of that ceremony, which is the highest occult ceremony in the world, is called the Enthronement of the Fallen Archangel Lucifer. Yes, that ceremony, the Enthronement of the Fallen Archangel Lucifer, was conducted, according to Dr. Malachi Martin and Archbishop Malingo, in 1967. That ceremony was conducted simultaneously at the same time by telephonic and telepathic communication simultaneously in Vatican Rome and in the highest Freemason temple in the world, 13 blocks north of the White House. And you can find that information in Lucifer's Ten, the Ten Commandments of Lucifer, the first of which is to kill 93% of the people on planet Earth today. And when Roman Catholics found out that paragraph number 841 was added to their catechism at that point, the people should have been hearing the Spirit say to the churches, "Come out of her, my people." That paragraph 841 in today's Roman Catholic catechism, as a result of Lucifer being officially enthroned as the real head of the Roman Catholic Church, says this, paragraph 841, they can look it up in their catechism: "The Church's relationship with Muslims, the plan of salvation, also includes those who acknowledge the Creator in the first place, among whom are the Muslims. These profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge on the last day." Now, there is nothing much more antichrist than respecting or tolerating Islam. But you see, the God of Islam is Lucifer. The God of the Roman Catholic Church, enthroned in 1967, is Lucifer. And so it's not surprising that the Pope would assert this religious authority and consider Islam part of the Roman Catholic Church. Islam is part of the Roman Catholic Church more so than any Protestant denomination. The Roman Catholic Church is the largest cult in the world. The one doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, that Mary was without sin, proves that. It's a blatant denial of the gospel, the blasphemy of the Pope calling himself the Holy Father or Vicar of Christ, should wake people up. But you see, Catholics are very purposefully kept from ever having any incentive whatsoever to read what God said in the Holy Bible. Catholics are taught that only the priest can understand it. And if he wants to be sure, he has to check with the bishop. And the bishop, if he wants to be sure, has to check with the archbishop, who has to check with the cardinal, who has to finally check with the pope. And the Catholics who really believe that the pope is the only one that can understand and interpret the Bible. It's astonishing. But you see, this is part of the Roman Catholic faith that the Pope is infallible, and that's why I don't expect him to make an apology for what he said. But let's look at a contrast between Muhammad and the Lord Jesus Christ, and a contrast between the true God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ and Allah. And share these things with your Roman Catholic friends, because once they know these things and see this contrast and see that paragraph 841 is in their Roman Catholic catechism, maybe they will come out of that religion of black witchcraft, which is what the Roman Catholic Church has become, with Lucifer officially enthroned as the head of the Roman Catholic Church. Maybe they will come out of it and get saved. There's a lot of good people in the bondage of the Roman Catholic Church. And there's a lot of good people who are born into the bondage of Islam. The Lord God sent us here. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ sent us here to show the love necessary to show Muslims, to risk our life, to give them the good news from the book, which their religion is to kill people of this book. And when they see what this book says, just in 1 John, in the first four chapters of Hebrews, maybe they can be set free. The one thing we do tell them, we understand that anyone who comes out of the bondage of Islam and renounces the bondage of Islam and will no longer profess to be a Muslim, we know every Muslim is duty bound to kill them, but we also tell them that if they do stop being Muslims and profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that all the Muslims that will be duty bound to kill them will have to kill me and Betty first. Yes, this is the duty of love. So I don't put up with anybody who accuses me of hate speak about Islam and Muslims. No, no, no. I won't put up with it. Our life is a testimony these last 5 years that we love Muslims. So let's look at a contrast between the Lord Jesus Christ and Muhammad, and a contrast between Yahweh, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Allah. Muhammad's method was compulsion. Messiah's aim was voluntary conversion. Muhammad's disciples killed for their faith, and Messiah's disciples were killed for their faith. Muhammad was a prophet of war. Messiah is the Prince of Peace. Muhammad promoted persecution against the infidels. Messiah forgave and converted the chief persecutor. Muhammad was a taker of life. Messiah is the giver of life. Muhammad and his fellow warriors murdered thousands. Messiah murdered none, but saved many. Muhammad practiced force. Messiah preached faith. Muhammad was a warrior. Messiah was a deliverer. Muhammad conquered his enemies with the sword, and Christ conquered his enemies with another kind of sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Muhammad said to the masses, "Convert or die." Messiah said, "Believe and live." Muhammad was swift to shed blood, and the Lord Jesus Christ shed his own blood for the salvation of many. Muhammad preached death to the infidels. Messiah prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Muhammad declared a holy war, a jihad against infidels. And Messiah achieved a holy victory on Calvary's cross, and his followers share in that victory. Muhammad constrained people by conquest, and Messiah constrained people by love. Modern terrorists derive their inspiration from Muhammad and carry out their despicable atrocities in the name of his God, Allah. the moon god. Believers in the God of Abraham and in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, derive their inspiration from the one who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Some modern-day disciples of Muhammad responded to the terrorist attacks of 9/11 by cheering and dancing in the streets, while modern-day disciples of the Messiah are deeply grieved at past atrocities carried out by those who were Christians in name only, like the Crusaders and those in the Spanish Inquisition and other atrocities like that in history. Many Muslims are peaceful and peace-loving because they do not strictly follow the teachings of their founder, Muhammad. And many followers of Messiah are peaceful and peace-loving because they do strictly follow the teachings of their founder, the Lord Jesus Christ. Muhammad called upon his servants to fight. The Messiah, Yeshua, said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But now is my kingdom not from here." Muhammad ordered death to the Jews. Messiah ordered that the gospel be preached to the Jew first. The Quran says, "Fight in the cause of Allah," in Quran Surah number 2, 244. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The Quran says, "Fight and slay the pagans. Kill them wherever you find them." That's Surah 9, verse 5. Messiah said, "Preach the gospel to every creature." The Quran says, "I will inspire terror into the hearts of unbelievers," in Surah 8, verse 12. And God inspires His terror, fear, His reverential awe into the hearts of believers. The Quran is a terrorist manual which condones fighting, conflict, terror, slaughter, and genocide against those who do not accept Islam. And the Bible is a manual to spread the gospel of peace and love to all the world. Muhammad's mission was to conquer the world for Allah. And Messiah's mission was to conquer sin's penalty and power of death by his own substitutionary atonement death, as the Lamb of God prophesied by Abraham. Muhammad considered Christ a good prophet, and Messiah pronounced Muhammad to be a false prophet, according to John 10:10 and Matthew 24:11. Muhammad claimed that there was but one God, Allah, and Messiah claimed that he himself was God in John 10, verses 30 and 31. John 8, verses 58 and 59, and John 5:18, and in John 14:9. Muhammad's tomb is occupied, and Messiah's tomb is empty. Now, let's look at a little contrast between Allah, the moon god of Islam, Satan, Lucifer, the devil is Allah, and Yahweh, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Allah was created by Muhammad in the 7th century A.D. Yahweh created heaven and earth before there was time. Allah is the God of Islamic people. Yahweh is the one true God of all and owner of the fullness of heaven and earth. Allah is the God of the Quran. Yahweh is the God of the Bible. Allah is the God of hate. And Yahweh not only is the God of love, but is love. Allah is the God of vengeance. Yahweh is the God of forgiveness. Allah needs His people to fight for Him. Yahweh needs no one to fight his battles. He can not only fight his own battles, but he fights for his people. Allah can lie. Yahweh cannot lie. Allah can be capricious and unknowable. Yahweh is trustworthy, does not change, and honors his word above his name, and desires that we come to know him as our Father. Allah has no savior. Yahweh gives free salvation through the blood sacrifice of his only begotten Son, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Allah might give salvation by our works. Yahweh offers salvation as a free gift of his grace through the work of his Son, the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. Allah has no mediator. Yahweh gave Yeshua Jesus as the one and only mediator. Allah does not talk to people. Yahweh communicates with his people. Allah gives no way to be certain of eternal life. Yahweh gives absolute certainty of eternal life. Allah is the moon god. Yahweh created heaven and earth. Allah is the god of war. Yahweh is the god of peace. Allah is the god of bondage. Yahweh is the god of freedom. Allah is a god of religion. Yahweh is the god of relationship. Allah commands murder of infidels. Yahweh forbids murder of anyone. Allah permits four wives. Yahweh forbids adultery. Allah allows no certainty of eternal life, and Yahweh gives absolute certainty of eternal life. Allah calls for a walk in the flesh. Yahweh calls for a walk in the spirit. Allah is concerned with the outward appearance. Yahweh is concerned with obedience from the heart. Allah says the sixth day is holy. Yahweh said the seventh day is holy. Allah, also known as the moon god, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And Yahweh is also known as the God of Abraham, the God of Israel, God Almighty, and the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a black and white, light and dark, this difference, a right and wrong difference, a true and false, big difference between the Islamic religion of hate, vengeance, killing, and destroying, and the true faith in Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The true God of Abraham and the true God of real Christians and Orthodox Jews who will soon get to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah works through love, life, and truth. Allah, the moon god, works through violence and fear of violence and hate and murder and lies. Brethren, it's time we wake up. These Antichrist people hide these Islamic murderings and mass genocide conflicts by their moon god Lucifer, known as ethnic problems. The followers of the Lord Jesus Christ do not carry guns or swords to kill Muslim people. They have something else, the sword of the Spirit. They carry love and truth and the Word of God to set these poor Muslims free from the, to set these poor Muslims free from the bondage of Islam. These ethnic wars is just a color for Islamic genocidal murders. They're cowards. They're demoniacs. They're bound by Lucifer, the moon god of Islam. And they are doing the massive killing all over this earth. Every minute, another human being is killed by a Muslim. Every single minute, some Christian is religiously slaughtered by a Muslim somewhere on earth. Every single minute. Every single minute, Muslims are murdering religiously murdering Christian women, men, and children, all in the name of their false god, Allah, that Muhammad created out of a black moon rock icon that he found in Mecca. It is all idolistic satanic worship. The real God of Abraham will destroy this satanic system soon. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Serve the black rock in Mecca and make your pilgrimage to the black rock at Mecca and call the real followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, idolaters. My goodness, how silly. It's a wonder how Muslims do not see how silly that is. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, the God. It wonders me why Muslims have such an irrational thing as jihad. It's totally irrational to have to fight for your God, and yet the Quran clearly teaches that Muslims must fight for their God. I tell you, I know the God who created heaven and earth, and he can fight his own battles. He doesn't need to have anybody fighting for him. I wonder what's wrong with Muslims who cannot see how irrational it is to have a God who says, you got to fight for me. What's wrong with your God, Muslim? What's wrong with your God? How come your God can't fight his own battles? My God, the God of Abraham, fights for me. What kind of God do you have when you have to fight for your God? You have no God at all. You have Lucifer, Satan, the devil. The true God who created heaven and earth, he doesn't need anybody fighting for him. The true God is a God who is almighty, not a God with no power. Allah is simply the black rock idol that the false prophet Muhammad found at Mecca. Nothing more. Lucifer, Satan, the devil. That's the God of Islam. And I will not tolerate him. I will not respect him. I will stand against such satanic bondage found in the religion of Islam. It would be antichrist to respect or tolerate Islam. Islam is the overt means to kill commandment-keeping Christians and Jews until the full structure of Vatican Roma's Inquisition extermination mechanism is fully in place. Now, much of what I'm about to share comes from Alberto Rivera, who was a professed Jesuit of the highest order. Vatican insider, involved in many missions of high-level Jesuit intrigue. He was a professed Jesuit. He was miraculously saved, and this former professed Jesuit priest, after his conversion to Christianity, wrote a book called The Prophet, and I think that book may be available from Chick Publications. It's a real eye-opener of a book. Since the publication of Alberto Rivera's book, The Prophet, after several unsuccessful attempts on his life, Dr. Alberto Rivera died suddenly from food poisoning. But his testimony should not be silenced. I want to share with you the testimony of Alberto Rivera. What I'm going to tell you is what I learned in secret briefings in the Vatican when I was a Jesuit priest under oath and induction. He was fully professed. He took the full highest secret level initiation oaths of the Jesuits, the fullest highest induction within the Jesuit order. A Jesuit cardinal named Augustine B. showed us how desperately the Roman Catholics wanted Jerusalem at the end of the 3rd century. Because of its religious history and its strategic location, the Holy City was considered a priceless treasure. A scheme had to be developed to make Jerusalem a Roman Catholic city. the great untapped source of manpower that could do this job was the children of Ishmael. The poor Arabs fell victim to one of the most clever plans ever devised by the powers of darkness. Early Christians went everywhere with the gospel, setting up small churches, but they met heavy opposition. Both the Jews and the Roman government persecuted the believers in Christ to stop their spread. But the Jews rebelled against Rome, and in 70 AD, Roman armies under General Titus smashed Jerusalem and destroyed the great Jewish temple, which was the heart of Jewish worship, in fulfillment of Christ's prophecy in Matthew 24:2. On this holy place today, where the temple once stood, the Dome of the Rock Mosque stands as Islam's third most holy place. Sweeping changes were in the wind. Corruption, apathy, greed, cruelty, perversion, and rebellion were eating at the Roman Empire, and it was ready to collapse. The persecution against Christians was useless, as they continued to lay down their lives for the gospel of Christ. The only way Satan could stop this thrust was to create a counterfeit Christian religion to destroy the work of God. The solution was in Rome. The religion had come from ancient Babylon, and all it needed was a facelift. This didn't happen overnight, but began in the writings of the early so-called church fathers. It was through their writings that a new religion would take shape. The statue of Jupiter in Rome was eventually called St. Peter, and the statue of Venus was changed to the Virgin Mary. The site chosen for its headquarters was on the seven hills called Vaticanus, the place of diving serpent, where the satanic temple of Janus stood. The great counterfeit religion was Roman Catholicism, called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, in Revelation 17:5. She was raised up to block the gospel, slaughter the believers in Christ, establish religions, create wars, and make the nations drunk with the wine of her fornication, as we shall see. The roots of Islam are traced to a tribal contention over a well, Zamzam, the treasure of the Kaaba. The offerings that pilgrims had given were dumped down the well, and it was filled with sand. It disappeared. Many years later, Abd al-Muttalib was given visions telling him where to find the well and its treasure. He became the hero of Mecca, and he was destined to become the grandfather of Muhammad. Before this time, Augustine became the bishop of North Africa and was effective in winning Arabs to Roman Catholicism, including whole tribes. It was among these Arab converts to Catholicism that the concept of looking for an Arab prophet developed. Muhammad's father died from illness. After his mother and grandfather also died, Muhammad was with his uncle. A Roman Catholic monk learned of his identity and said, "Take your brother's son back to his country and guard him against the Jews, for by God, if they see him and know him, that which I know, they will construe evil against him. Great things are in store for this brother son of yours." The Roman Catholic monk had fanned the flames for future Jewish persecution at the hands of the followers of Muhammad. The Vatican desperately wanted Jerusalem because of its religious significance, but was blocked by the Jews. Another problem was the true Christians in North Africa who preached the gospel. Roman Catholicism was growing in power, but would not tolerate opposition. Somehow the Vatican had to create a weapon to eliminate both Jews and true Christian believers who refused to accept Roman Catholicism. Looking to North Africa, they saw the multitudes of Arabs as a source of manpower to do their dirty work. Some Arabs had become Roman Catholic and could be used in reporting information to leaders in Rome. Others were used in an underground spy network to carry out Rome's master plan to control the great multitudes of Arabs who rejected Catholicism. When St. Augustine appeared on the scene, he knew what was going on. His monasteries served as bases to seek out and destroy Bible manuscripts owned by the true Christians. The Vatican wanted to create a Messiah for the Arabs, someone they could raise up as a great leader, a man with charisma whom they could train, and eventually unite all non-Catholic Arabs behind him, creating a mighty army that would ultimately capture Jerusalem for the Pope. In the Vatican briefing, Cardinal B told us this story. A wealthy Arabian lady who was a faithful follower of the Pope played a tremendous part in this drama. She was a widow named Kahidia. She gave her wealth to the church and retired to a convent, but was given an assignment. She was to find a brilliant young man who could be used by the Vatican to create a new religion and become the Messiah for the children of Ishmael. Kahidia had a cousin named Warqua, who was also a very faithful Roman Catholic, and the Vatican placed him in a critical role as Muhammad's advisor. He had tremendous influence on Muhammad. Teachers were sent to young Muhammad, and he had intensive training. Muhammad studied the works of St. Augustine, which prepared him for his great calling. The Vatican had Catholic Arabs across North Africa spread the story of a great one who was about to rise up among the people and to be the chosen one of their God. While Muhammad was being prepared, he was told that his enemies were the Jews and that the only true Christians were Roman Catholics. He was taught that others calling themselves Christians were actually wicked imposters and should be destroyed. Many Muslims still believe this. Muhammad began receiving divine revelations, and his wife's Catholic cousin, Warqua, helped interpret them, and from this came the Quran. In the fifth year of Muhammad's mission, persecution came against his followers because they refused to worship the idols in the Kaaba. Muhammad instructed some of them to flee to Abyssinia, where Negus, the Roman Catholic king, accepted them because Muhammad's views on the Virgin Mary were so close to Roman Catholic doctrine. These Muslims received protection from Catholic kings because of Muhammad's revelations. Muhammad later conquered Mecca, and the Kaaba was cleared of idols. History proves that before Islam came into existence, the Sabians in Arabia worshipped a moon god, who was married to the sun god. They gave birth to three goddesses who were worshipped throughout the Arab world as daughters of Allah. An idol excavated at Hazor in Palestine in the 1950s shows Allah sitting on a throne with the crescent moon on his chest. Muhammad claimed he had a vision from Allah and was told, "You are the messenger of Allah." This began his career as a prophet, and he received many messages. By the time Muhammad died, the religion of Islam was exploding. The nomadic Arab tribes were joining forces in the name of Allah and his prophet, Muhammad. Some of Muhammad's writings were placed in the Quran, and others were never published. They are now in the hands of high-ranking holy men, Ayatollahs, in the Islamic faith. When Cardinal B shared with us in the Vatican, he said these writings are guarded because they contain information that links the Vatican to the creation of Islam. Both sides have so much information on each other that if exposed, it could create such a scandal that it would be a disaster for both religions. In their holy book, the Quran, Christ is regarded only as a prophet. If the Pope was his representative on earth, then he also must be a prophet of God. And this caused followers of Muhammad to fear and respect the Pope as another holy man. The Pope moved quickly and issued bulls granting the Arab generals permission to invade and conquer the nations of North Africa. The Vatican helped to finance the building of these massive Islamic armies in exchange for three favors. Eliminate the Jews and Christians, the true believers, which they called the infidels, and now the global ethic calls people of the book are not authentically human. Also, he wanted them to protect the Augustinian monks and Roman Catholics. And third, he wanted them to conquer Jerusalem for his holiness in the Vatican. As time went by, the power of Islam became tremendous. Jews and true Christians were slaughtered, and Jerusalem fell into their hands. Roman Catholics were never attacked, nor were their shrines during this time. But when the Pope asked for Jerusalem, he was surprised at their denial. The Arab generals had such military success that they could not be intimidated by the Pope. Nothing could stand in the way of their own plan. Under Rorakwa's direction, Muhammad wrote that Abraham offered Ishmael as a sacrifice. The Bible says that Isaac was the sacrifice, but Muhammad removed Isaac's name and inserted Ishmael's name. As a result of this and Muhammad's vision, the faithful Muslims built a mosque, the Dome of the Rock, in Ishmael's honor on the site of the Jewish temple that was destroyed in 70 AD. This made Jerusalem the third most holy place in the Islamic faith. How could they give such a sacred shrine to the Pope without causing a revolt? The Pope realized what they had created was out of control when he heard that they were calling His Holiness an infidel. The Muslim generals were determined to conquer the world for Allah, and now they turned toward Europe. Islamic ambassadors approached the Pope and asked for papal bulls to give them permission to invade European countries. The Vatican was outraged. War was inevitable. Temporal power and control of the world was considered the basic right of the Pope. He wouldn't think of sharing it with those whom he considered heathens. The Pope raised up his armies and called them crusades to hold back the children of Ishmael from grabbing Catholic Europe. The crusades lasted centuries, and Jerusalem slipped out of the Pope's hands. Turkey fell, and Spain and Portugal were invaded by Islamic forces. In Portugal, they called a mountain village Fatima, in honor of Muhammad's daughter, never dreaming it would become world famous. Years later, when the Muslim armies were poised on the islands of Sardinia and Corsica to invade Italy, there was a serious problem. The Islamic generals realized they were too far extended. It was time for peace talks. One of the negotiators was Francis of Assisi. As a result, the Muslims were allowed to occupy Turkey in a Christian world, and the Catholics were allowed to occupy Lebanon in the Arab world. It was also agreed that the Muslims could build mosques in Catholic countries without interference as long as Roman Catholicism could flourish in Arab countries. Cardinal B. told us in Vatican briefings that both the Muslims and Roman Catholics agreed to block and destroy the efforts of their common enemy, Bible-believing Christian missionaries. Through these concordats, Satan blocked the children of Ishmael from a knowledge of Scripture and the truth. A light control was kept on Muslims from the Ayatollah down through the Islamic priests, nuns, and monks. The Vatican also engineers a campaign of hatred between Muslim Arabs and the Jews. Before this, they had coexisted peacefully. The Islamic community looks on the Bible-believing missionary as a devil who brings poison to the children of Allah. This explains years of ministry in those countries with little result. The next plan was to control Islam. In 1910, Portugal was going socialistic. Red flags were appearing, and the Catholic Church was facing a major problem. Increasing numbers were against the church. The Jesuits wanted Russia involved, and the location of this vision at Fatima could play a key part in pulling Islam to the Mother Church. In 1917, the Virgin appeared in Fatima. The Mother of God was a smashing success, playing to an overflow of crowds. As a result, the socialists of Portugal suffered a major defeat. Roman Catholics worldwide began praying for the conversion of Russia, and the Jesuits invented the novenas to Fatima, which they could perform throughout North Africa, spreading good public relations to the Muslim world. The Arabs thought they were honoring the daughter of Muhammad. And this is what the Jesuits wanted them to believe as a result of the vision of Fatima. Pope Pius XII ordered his Nazi army to crush Russia and the Orthodox religion and make Russia Roman Catholic. A few years after he lost World War II, Pope Pius XII startled the world with his phony dancing sun vision to keep Fatima in the news. It was great religious showbiz, and the world swallowed it. Not surprisingly, Pope Pius was the only one to see this vision. As a result, a group of followers has grown into a blue army worldwide, totaling millions of faithful Roman Catholics ready to die for the Blessed Virgin. But we haven't seen anything yet. The Jesuits have their Virgin Mary scheduled to appear 4 or 5 times in China, Russia, and major appearances in the U.S. And that is what Project Bluebeam is all about. Great pretended apparitions of Vatican Rome's Virgin. So, what has this got to do with Islam? I want to give you a statement from Bishop Sheen. Bishop Fulton Sheen used to be real famous, even on television. He said, "Our Lady's appearance at Fatima marked the turning point in the history of the world's 350 Muslims. After the death of his daughter, Muhammad wrote that she is the most holy of all women in paradise next to Mary. He believed that the Virgin Mary chose to be known as Our Lady of Fatima as a sign and a pledge that the Muslims who believe in Christ's virgin birth will come to believe in his divinity." Bishop Sheen pointed out that the pilgrim virgin statues of Our Lady of Fatima were enthusiastically received by Muslims in Africa, India, and elsewhere, and that many Muslims are now coming into the Roman Catholic Church. What about that crescent moon that you always see in Islam? You see it on the Shriner's hats, you see it on every mosque. The crescent moon is seen on the flag of Turkey, many Muslim countries, and it's seen on every single mosque that you'll see. There's a textbook called Across the Centuries, published by Houghton Mifflin. And it has been adopted by the California school system. The social studies course specifies many verses in the Quran that must be memorized. The text of this course teaches students to pray in the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, and to chant praise to Allah, Lord of creation. Also, there are 25 Islamic terms that must be memorized, 6 Islamic Arabic phrases, 20 Islamic proverbs to learn, along with the 5 pillars of the faith, and 10 key Islamic prophets and disciples to be studied. Students are to pretend that they are Muslims, wear Muslim clothing to school, and stage their own jihad, and pick out a Muslim name to replace their own. Where in the world is the ACLU on this one? Yeah, this is not being made up. This is actually going on in the California public school system. You can bet your last FRN that the ACLU would be going bananas with a dozen lawsuits if Christianity were taught in the public schools. So why is there such conspicuous silence now on that issue of Islam being taught in the public schools of California? Where are the people for the American way on this hypocrisy? Well, the explanation is simple. The main purpose of the ACLU is to destroy Bible-based Christianity and to war primarily against the great international hate crime of biblicism. Yes, biblicism. That you truly do believe the Scripture is the sole source of faith and practice, the only place for doctrine from the Scriptures, and that includes observing the fourth commandment too. If the term biblicism is a new one to you, we've got an article on biblicism on the website. But it should surprise no one that the ACLU and other groups like the People for the American Way can hypocritically, and it is hypocrisy, it is very hypocritical for such organizations to biblicism and people that believe the Holy Bible is the whole purpose of such organizations as the ACLU and People for the American Way. Yes, they're against the not authentically human people, which means Jews and real Bible-believing Jews and real Bible-believing Christians. And brethren, you need to understand this, that promoting Islam fits their real agenda. You see, Islam is the favored religion of the global Satanists because this religion was established to kill people of the book, who are the only people that the global Satanists know they have to be concerned about. This hypocrisy should be shouted out of every school board meeting where the ACLU has totally censored the rights of students to learn the scientific, not biblical, facts, which really prove that evolution is a pseudo-scientific myth, and in fact, evolution is just plain stupid. Then, once the lid is pried off of that can of worms, students and teachers can begin to recognize the fantastic parade of pseudo-scientific assumptions upholding today's pseudo-science of the Antichrist New Age of the Illuminati Satanists, who now control all governments, and the government indoctrination centers and propaganda centers known as today's public schools. There are just not that many real Christians, sadly, because we're involved in what the Bible calls the great falling away from the faith, the great apostasy. There are a lot of nice fake-o-Christians, used to be Christians, people who call themselves Christians who go along to get along and have been taught feigned affection in their 501c3 churches that have no salt or light. And that's just how it is. They call themselves Christians, but they'll compromise with anything for the sake of tolerance, which is the Antichrist global religion of the last days, a religion of tolerance where the only thing that will not be tolerated is those not authentically human people of the book. And Islam was established to wipe them out. And this is why Islam is still the favored religion of the global Satanists, although the Pope is the one who is supposed to control it. And we're seeing his control. Can you imagine some other world leader like Jacques Chirac of France saying that quote that the Pope said of Manuel II? Show me. Just imagine Chirac saying this. What would happen in France? What would happen to French people all over the world if Jacques Chirac got up and said, show me just what Mohammed brought that was new, and there you will find things only evil and inhuman, such as his command to spread by the sword the faith that he preached. What would happen in France? Well, the Muslim riots that they've had in France, the Muslim violence they've had in France, couldn't make a pimple on what would happen, you see. So really, we are witnessing the Pope's control over Islam, because he did say it, and he's not going to apologize. But what about all these crescent moons popping up like mushrooms in front of Muslim mosques all over America and other Western cities? What about these mosques? What about these multiplied millions of Muslim immigrants? The increasingly bold Muslim evangelism, like in the California school system? What about this? What is really going on? What is the truth behind these things? What is behind the crescent moon and the religion of Islam? Why is so-called Christian George W. Bush the first president in the history of America to invite Muslims into the White House to celebrate Ramadan with their foreheads on the nice polished marble floors of the White House? Why does a so-called Christian President Bush publicly proclaim, exactly as the so-called Christian Pope, that the God of the Muslims is the same as the God of the Christians? Historically, Allah was not invented by Muhammad or revealed for the first time in the Quran. In fact, the word Allah was used in Arabia long before Muhammad was born. There are over 50 reference works that state that Allah was the moon god in pre-Islamic times. For example, the Dictionary of Non-Classical Mythology states that Allah originally applied to the moon. He seems to be preceded by Imaqua, the moon god, Aliat, the female counterpart of Allah. Historically, Arabia was a pagan nation that worshipped over 300 gods, actually 360 of them, just like the 360 degrees of the occult, Satan, the devil himself being 360, the Antichrist being 359, all the way down the occult satanic ladder chain of position to the simple degrees of Freemasonry. Of the 360 pagan gods of Arabia, Allah, the moon god, was just one of them. Aliyah, Allah, the moon god of Arabia. Legend has it that the moon god mated with the sun god and had two daughters, both of whom were worshipped as goddesses. When Muhammad claimed to have had his vision and revelation from Gabriel, he chose Allah as the god upon which to build his army. Muhammad shortened the name Aliyah to Allah and declared that he alone should be worshipped. He forbade the worship of the daughters, and to this day, a crescent moon can be found in the front of every mosque and on every minaret tower of every mosque, acknowledging that Allah was and is the moon god. Most Muslims do not think they are worshipping a pagan moon god when they worship Allah. However, the modern meaning of the word cannot be used to refute its original meaning in history. And brethren, it is the Christian duty to shout out the truth that Allah is the moon god. Yes, that's our Christian duty. Few things are more antichrist than to respect or tolerate Satan, the god of Islam, the moon god of Islam. Few things could be more antichrist than to tolerate Allah, the moon god, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, who is the god of Islam. If Muslims are offended by that truth, tell them to check it out. It's important for these poor, deceived followers of the devil and Satan's great false prophet Muhammad to have one chance to hear the truth. If this fact, this truth that Allah is the moon god from pre-Islamic Arab paganism is not shouted out by the Christians, or deceived people free from the bondage of Islam. And I'll tell you this, the glue that holds Islam together is violence and the fear of violence. Islam is the fastest growing religion of Satan, also known as Lucifer the devil, because Christians, and this is the reason, it's growing so fast because Christians have lost their salt and light. Muslims may try to repress or poo-poo the fact and truth that Allah is the pagan moon god, but it's just a fact of history that is really very difficult to sidestep if anybody would have intellectual honesty in looking at the history of it. All Muslims are worshipping the pagan moon god, and neither Muslims nor anybody else can deny that fact and truth. This pagan moon god religion is claimed by nearly 1 in 5 people on this earth today. Why is there a crescent moon on the front of every mosque? Why is that same crescent moon on the fetish of a Shriner? Why does the definition of a Shriner include ancient Arabic order of nobles of the mystic shrine? Why do Shriners meet in temples with Arabic names? The God of Freemasonry is the same. The God of Freemasonry is also Satan, Lucifer, the devil. The whole Masonic business is no friend of the Holy Bible or genuine Christians or Jews. Satan, Lucifer, the devil was once the head of all of the true God's worshiping angels. It is no marvel that he comes as an angel of light, and it's no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, a good thing to share with Muslims. No marvel that the religious deception tops the list of Satan's works. Occult Kabbalism is the hidden source of not only modern cosmology, but also of the various Jewish sects, and nowadays even many Protestant denominations. Some are trying to tell me that there's a Kabbalism which is not a cult in nature. No. Kabbalism in any form is a cult. It's the spirituality that Jews turn to because they can't have the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, because they don't know the Messiah. I believe that in these last days we are seeing God beginning to awaken his people who love truth and hate deception. Now is the time to love the truth. Now is the last hour to come out of whatever deception may be keeping you from the truth. This awakening of the remnant is necessary, a necessary part of the preparation for his prophesied unmasking and destruction of all deception and the separation of the world's populations into overt Satan worshipers and those who get on God's side. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he did it. He said, "It is finished." And there was an angel, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, "Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people." Yes, God says to his people, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Come out of her. Come out of Babylon, which means confusion. Come out of confusion, my people. God says so in Revelation 18:4. Are we surprised that the revelation of a single historical truth, that Islam is founded on the worship of pre-Islamic, the pagan moon god, elevated to the one sovereign God by Muhammad's vision? You know, that one truth is capable of unmasking the great religion and separating its people into those who can and cannot receive the love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12 is powerful, and it applies to today. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they all might be damned. What? Yeah, God is going to send the strong delusion, that they all might be damned. Why? Because they loved not the truth, and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, the same should be true for Freemasons. Will Masons love the truth enough to receive the truth that Lucifer, Satan, the devil, is the god of Freemasonry? There's ample proof of this on the Freemasonry topic on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website. We've got the complete full ritual. Most Masons have no idea of what they even say or what they're doing in these high-level Luciferian oaths that they take for the 30th, 31st, and 32nd degree of Freemasonry. The whole thing about Freemasonry is designed to keep the vast majority of Freemasons to think that they understand what these symbols mean, all the while fully intending that they are to be deceived and not know that the big G God of Freemasonry is Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Will you be one who will do Ephesians 5:11? It's a command. It's a New Testament commandment. And have no fellowship. See, we're not supposed to go along to get along. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's a command of God. One of the 800 New Testament commandments. We all need to ask, what idol could we possibly be bowing to? Do we bow to some idol of science, falsely so-called? Have we perhaps made an idol out of our doctrines? That you can do that. Until we dispense with our dispensationalism, nobody will be able to see what the Bible prophets are telling people in these last days. And if people will not take off their pre-trib rose-colored La La Land glasses, there's no way they can see what the prophets are crying out and hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches today. Will we cast down our idols, even idols of doctrinal deceptions that we like to hear and things that we like to believe that simply are not biblical? God just didn't say that. It's been wrested. It's been taken out of its context to form some sort of comfortable, tolerable, go along to get along, feel good, feigned affection, feigned faith, brand of Christianity. Why should a Roman Catholic be any more surprised than the Muslim that the Roman Catholic Church, with its Mariolatry, is revealed to be little more than a facelift of ancient paganism stemming from some version of the Semiramis Tammuz cult? Yeah. How many of the 1.2 billion Catholics will come down on the side of the Bible, and how many on the side of the church when it's made clear that they are irreconcilably contradictory and that one must choose between them? We do know, based on the integrity of the Word of God, that the global government called good by the world is committed to destroying real biblical Christians and biblical Jews. The satanic Antichrist global government will have a global Antichrist false prophet leader, who is the Vatican Roman Pope. And this Antichrist Illuminati Satanist controlled world government and religious system will not last long, hallelujah, before it is overcome. Babylon America, the Babylon economic system, the Babylon world government, and the Babylon world religious system headed by the Vatican Roman Pope will fall. The Antichrist has been revealed. Pre-tribbers ought to shake themselves and wake up before it's too late. Jews should shake themselves and wake up before it's too late too. Both Christian pre-tribbers and Jews are set up to accept the mark of the beast and receive the false Messiah. There is no Orthodox or Torah-based Judaism without a temple. I'm going to say it again. There is no such thing as Orthodox or Torah-based Judaism without a temple. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Nothing more central in Torah. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is nothing more central to Torah. Yeshua can forgive your sins. Israel is the name of the family of God. And only those who know the real Messiah, not just know about Him, but who know the real Messiah, not just know about Him, can be set free from the strong delusion now upon this whole earth. You must know the real Messiah. You must know Him, or else you will receive the mark of the beast and receive the false Messiah. This strong delusion and division of the world into Satan worshipers and those who get on God's side for both the right and the wrong reasons is followed by the time frame of the beast, 42 months, war. Yes, the Antichrist is given power for 42 months, 3.5 years, to make war on the saints. And those who think they may be some sort of super-duper saint that will be raptured before the Antichrist is revealed are living in strong delusion. The Antichrist war on the saints is one and the same as the time of Jacob's trouble. I know of no greater oxymoron than for someone to claim to be a Christian and hate Jews. Jew haters for Jesus will fill up the extra crispy section of hell. The Holy Bible tells us that soon the elements will melt with fervent heat. And on that day, immediately after the tribulation, yes, Jesus said He's coming immediately after the tribulation for His saints. Yes, He's going to send His angels for His saints. He's going to send His angels to gather His elect immediately after the tribulation. That's when Messiah sends His angels to gather His elect at the last trump. You can find it in Matthew 24, 29 through 31, and 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. And on that day, you'll either fly or you'll fry. There won't be any treading water like in Noah's flood. No. On that day, when the elements melt, you either fly or you fry. The Holy Bible, and there's only one Holy Bible, the God promised perfect, purified 7 times by the Holy Ghost, King Jesus version, KJV, and not no new KJV. We don't want a new Jesus. We want the one who doesn't change, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Bible, the KJV, is unique among all other holy books. The Holy Bible speaks of today's technology, a global government ruled by Jerusalem, and the strong delusion which will have most receiving the mark of the beast and the false Messiah. Allah, the pagan moon god, and His Quran fails the acid test of divine fulfillment of centuries-old prophecies. The Holy Bible has over 2,000 prophecies. The Holy Bible has over 2,000 prophecies that are very precisely, explicitly, and accurately fulfilled. The few remaining prophecies in the Holy Bible are being fulfilled now right before our very eyes. Will we have ears to hear and eyes to see? The answer is yes. If, and it's a big if we can come out of the strong delusion of pre-trib dispensationalism, Jewish sects, Vatican Romanism, and especially Islam. Those under Islam who truly love God will have the same choice as the rest of the world when Babylon falls. And that's not far down the timeline. We can see that coming now. Brethren, if you've not read the King Jesus version, the KJV, the authorized version, the one that was sprinkled with the blood of the martyrs, if you haven't read it the way God said, every word, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, every word in order, in context, so that you have some reason to presume to be able to rightly divide it. That needs to be your highest priority. You need to read the Word of God, starting at Genesis 1:1 straight through, every word in order, to the Amen of Revelation, and your faith will build. You'll see things. You'll hear things from God. And you'll know you've heard from God because it's based on the more sure Word which is written, purified 7 times by the Holy Ghost, the God-promised, perfect, Holy Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is
www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. C-O-M. That's all one word, no spaces, all small letters, www.moresureword.com.
At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.